Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, the message today is called He Must What? Increase, but I Must Decrease, you know. And I always have to recalibrate the minds of religiosity, because we can always think that God is wanting us to be humiliated so He can be glorified. And that's not the case. You know, he must increase, and us for this decrease is the pride, it's the egomaniac, it's the part in us that want to do it the way we see it without talking to the Most High God and saying, Lord, what is your way? And I tell you how some people even quote the phrase, you know, when you know better, you gotta do better. You know better. And it's not of a push of a know better, but no, we know a better way. The best way is to put it in God's hands and relax and let it rest. Because when you place those fish and those bread in his hand, it's gonna multiply. In my hand, it's gonna decrease. Because I'm a consumer. Only thing I wanna do is eat that bread and eat that fish. But when I place it in his hands, He does not only increase it, but He feeds others. Amen. That's the difference between a kingdom mindset, which is always a mindset to give to others, and this carnal mindset, which is on the survive level. Like, okay, did I come to church enough so I go to heaven or hell? Which one? Or did I do enough? So, you know, it's always trying to see what's the standard so I can do that and then leave it alone. But the kingdom mindset is not survival. We are not here to survive this life. We are here to thrive in this life. We are here to not just to go back right by the edge. Oh, I did my requirements. I tell people, man, that's the most horrible life ever. I got this revelation while I was working at UPS. I know I worked at Domino's and other places, but UPS was my real job. Like, that was the first job I got a wake-up call that I was about to get fired because I wasn't doing enough. And I would go in, I'd flip my little boxes, and when my trailer get done, I'm like, I'll sit down. I'm like, I'm good. And my supervisor looked at me, what you doing? I said, I'm done. No, go help somebody else. That's not fair. I finished before him. He should listen. No. This is not just about you. This is about us. We move together, not as individuals. And I remember I was just doing just enough to get by every day. And something clicked in my head. I kind of did it in an attitude type of way. Like, okay, I'm going to swing these boxes as fast as I can. See, you satisfied that. And I was just moving. And you know what? They worked. And it's like, life went so much better. When I tapped into the more than I got finished with my trailer faster, and I helped somebody else trailer. And you know what? I never had a problem with supervisors no more. You know what? This is the same way with life. We living on the edge of how much can I do, instead of how much have you done for me, Jesus? What did you die for me? Let me see. Let me tap into your eternal power and see. When I was nothing, that's when you died for me. Let me see that, Jesus. When I see that, then guess what? It's on their pocket, amen. And then that stream flows into our life. In Minnesota, there's a little small river. It's called Itasca, right? And some people go to this river because this is where the Mississippi River comes from. And some people just go there just so they can say, I jumped over the Mississippi River. I mean, look how small this thing is. I think Anthony can leap over that one. But the thing about it is, when it comes to us, this is what we see. See, the seeds you sow today, 7 years from now, it's going to look like this. Either way, either selfish seeds that start like this, end up like this, or glorious seeds that you just sow. They may like be insignificant seeds to you. But guess what? 7 years from now, this is how it looks like. The problem with Christians is when we see seeds, either we're seeing consuming or we're seeing a forest. God says, what do you see when you see seeds that I place in your precious hand? What do you see when I'm able to give you that smile and say hi to Miles, hi to Marie, hi to Lisa? What are you doing with it? Are you wasting those seeds or are you giving it? Because guess what? God so loved the world that he what? He gave and redeemed his family back and restored it back to balance of where we're supposed to be.
That's good.
And we are made in whose image?
Yeah.
His image. God says, listen, man, stop all this whining and crying and moaning and groaning and start understanding that I have given you seeds to plant. If you want to see God on this earth, you have to get to plant these seeds and see it come back and multiply. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or eight or even eight, for you know not what disasters may happen on earth. For if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the trees fall, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know why? Because they're stuck in a storm, and that's all they're realizing is the storm. They think that the storm is life. No, you're just going through a season. But that season is not who you are. You are a glorious child of God. And if you stay too focused on the storm, you won't sow. Because fear enters into your life. But when you focus on Jesus, you say, what a glorious opportunity. What a glorious opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. Let me make room for God. Because God's about to do something awesome right here. I see force. I see something that he's going to do with that Kool-Aid smile. I see something that he's going to do with that beautiful voice.
Come on.
And you leave room for God. And when you do leave that room, that's how you get that Mississippi flow every day. We want that flow. But the flow starts in a small voice that you listen to and you obey and you allow it to come into your life. When I tell people, you want God's best, leave room for it.
Man.
Leave room. You know, this is a weak scenario, but, you know, Chris Paul was one of the first people that contacted LeBron James to come play on his team. And within that same week, he said, I'm going to take the max contract. You can't get the max contract and sign LeBron James at the same time. You got to leave room, brother. People on the Golden State, they leave room for each other. You know, Tom Brady got five rings. He's never been the highest paid quarterback. The Spurs, Tim Duncan, got five rings. He's never been the highest paid
come on,
player.
Bro. Come on, bro.
Hope he did the last 2 years. We'll see what happened.
Yeah. Come on, man.
If you want God, don't tell me you want God. You ain't leaving room for him.
He was in basketball three.
Don't tell me you want God and you don't want to come to church and hear the word to nourish your heart and so he can give you directions on where to go. If you want God, you have to leave room. And it breaks my heart to see Christians tormented by the devil because they are children of God, but they don't follow God's principles. I say, man, God wants his best. Do these things. What they got to do with anything? Everything. Surrender what you got and put it in God's hands and watch him multiply everything within your eyes. He loves you more than enough to keep that in your hands. Give it to him. Chris Paul, you played yourself. If you want God's best, man, you have to surrender the rest and get out of that mentality of, I'm just trying to get by. Amen. And then God creates a village around you. I seen a lady this week. She lost 600 pounds. And she was telling her testimony to everybody. And I said, how in the world did you do that?
How did you gain that?
Well, that's the question I asked. I said, how did you do it? I'm looking for the answer. And you know what she said? No, 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 no. How did we? It takes a village. It takes a body. It takes everyone participating in this thing. My life can't be my life without Keisha. Without my parents, without Anthony, my life can't be me unless I understand the village that God has me in. The village that God has you in If you know it, tap into it.
Wow.
Ask questions. Yeah. Be a person. See, we are creating our life, whether we know it or not. I had a person that failed this test 3 times, and they like, man, I can't believe I failed. Ain't nobody help me.
I said, brother, do you know the aura that you give off? A private aura that says, I don't need no help. And because of that, nobody helps you. You know, the aura that I give off, I hope that I give off. I can't say it. I hope I give off help if y'all need. If y'all see something wrong in church, come to me. Don't give off an aura where people can't help you. Because you're rocking your own village. David, Solomon, Jesus had a person pick him up 3 times so he could finish what he had to do. You're going to have people that's going to pick you up when you don't have the strength. That's the reason why I repudiate the song. As long as I got kicked, it don't need nobody else. Now somebody else is inside of Miles, inside of Lisa, inside of Anthony, inside of Marie. The village that God connected to, I've seen people isolate themselves from. The first rule in the art of war is to kill communication. If I can let them know, and if I can show them that they're not encouraged, and I can see, I can try to cut off the communication so they won't get fed anymore. I see this happening all the time, and my heart breaks. And I say, man, get with your village, man. Get with your God-like village that he has connected you to.
That's good.
I know it's the truth. Because when God spills into the, I'm talking about, I ain't talking about the El Chico, I'm talking about El Shaddai, spills into each area of your life becomes rich. In my relationship, I wasn't living like, let me just do the whatever I can with Keisha and just, you know, going by my day. No, no. What can I do more, Keisha? How can I be a blessing to you? How can we make our marriage grow? People see that I'm a marriage counselor. People see that I take the time to help other people. And then I went to a marriage seminar not too long ago. Why do you need to go? Because I'm always learning. I'm always humbling. I'm always saying, what am I missing, God? And show me, feel me. I'm making room for the best. So I can rest. We want to rest. And we won't leave room for the best. You in the disaster mode. I want to hear Jesus, what you have to say that can improve my marriage this week. My time, my work environment. Is it 5 o'clock? I'm gonna be going 4:49. We laugh because it's true. Before I leave, can I help you all with something else? Do you think I live in fear on my job? No. And this is not an arrogant statement.
Come on, man.
This is a statement of when you live in more than enough, you live in rest. I'm not worried about it. What I'm worried about is the 2 other people that I'm going to add on to this job. I'm not thinking about being fired. I'm not thinking about losing my relationship. I'm not thinking about my church family not liking me. Why? Because the more than enough lives in me, and he lives in you. The scattered seed that, you know, what did Jesus say to the person that held on to their seed and they didn't sow it?
You wicked.
He says, you wicked and lazy. I'm like, dang, God, you have to go there, but no, you're not seeing. This is not about selfishness no more. Love gives. Love provides. Love is always trying to check on someone. Check on, I called my brother Glenn. How you doing this morning, brother? I just praying for you, man, and we had a good conversation, amen. I'm gonna check on your sister. I'm gonna check on this. I'm gonna check on. It's always moving, progressively, not negatively. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 12:9 says, "Love is to be sincere and active. The real thing without guile and hypocrisy." Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is what? Good. That's why I hold on to grace. Because grace is good. Legalistic is evil. Mm-hmm.
Be devoted to, why do you keep going back to these people? What people got to do with God? Be devoted to one another with authenticity, brotherly affection, as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. The Bible says hate. You know, I had somebody say, oh, Wendell, this person was getting on my nerves, and I don't want to say I hate this attitude, and, you know, it's the first day of my job. I don't want to say I hate. I say, no, hate that attitude.
Yeah.
The attitude is evil.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
See, we don't know the radical Jesus that flipped over the money table. We don't know this Jesus. We know that. No, I'm nice to you. No. There's certain things I'm not nice to. I'm not nice to division. I'm not nice to gossip. I'm not nice to the thing that's going to violate my family. You got to prosecute those things and say, no, you will not stand. You can't just sit back passively. He says hate. And I said, no, you got to hate that. He said, no, well, hate is a strong. I said, Jesus said, hate it. Because you can't be double-minded when the enemy's trying to take something from you. You can't be double-minded. You have to know what is good and what is not good so you can make a stand, not so you can be divided. How can you pray against cancer if you think that cancer is good for you? How can you make a stand against laziness if you think that it's supposed to be in your life? I hate being lazy. I detest it. Why? Because it's going to leave you broke. I ain't going to be broke. It's a stand that you made. The Bible in Ephesians 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Oh, yeah, that means make sure you forgive each other before you go to bed. No, that's not what it's saying. It says, don't let the sun go down on it. You see the sun go down? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath against sin. He says, be angry. Sin not in that anger. Don't let the... God is not saying, it's okay for you to be mad when you're awake. But when you go to sleep, you know, make sure you forgive one another. No. He's saying that, listen, don't let the sun go down on your wrath against sin. It's all connected as one. When you get lackadaisy on laziness, oh, we're just going to be, you know, I don't care. I can just wait. So how it happened, sarah, you know, what's gonna be, it's gonna be.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you let that little stream from Minnesota, next 7 years, it's gonna be Mississippi.
Wow.
Thank God, when I was choosing a relationship, I didn't let the enemy choose, and I let God choose. Thank God I let God choose my church. Thank God I let God choose my friend. Thank God that I listened to my parents and I got out of the stupid stage and selfish stage and listened to what God wants for me and everybody else now. Hate what is evil. I was talking to a prostitute this week and she said, Christians hate me when I say I'm a prosecutor until I'm defending their child. From somebody that's done them evil. What am I saying? The Bible says, take no thought saying what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what am I going to wear. That is not for you. That's for the pagans. When a thought comes into your mind, we attack you with somebody else. Somebody else says, you're a loser. Man, forget you. Blah, 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 blah. But when it comes into your mind, why do we eat it up? You still have to rebuke that thought. Whether it's coming from an outside source or whether it's coming from you. Because you get to choose which river flows into your life. You get to choose. It says, I put before you life and death. Choose life so you and your seed can live. If you go down to the Mississippi or to Chicken Rock, you'll see all that thing. You'll see all the trees are the biggest, tallest trees. Why? Because I'm living by the river. It never stops flowing. See, if you live your life by the river that never stops flowing, your work will be productive. Your time will be productive. Your relationship will be
is connected to. Can I help you? Every branch is connected to a flow. You know, I tell y'all about this is the best job I've ever been on in my life. But it didn't happen there. It happened because they said they want to hire me as a contract. And we never did this. We never hired a full-time driver before. We want to hire you because we see how you treat our elderly. You treat them so nice that we want to separate you from the rest. Mm. I didn't even know they was looking at me.
Wow.
I'm just doing what God told me.
Oh.
I was helping Pastor Clifton out. He said, well, you know what? It's time for y'all to have your own church. That's not why I have brought him down here.
Come on.
I'll bring him down because I want to see his ministry grow. Let's go to Ruth and Naomi. Both of them. They lost their husband. Ruth and Oprah. I keep saying Oprah. But you know what? And what's the mother name?
Yeah.
Naomi.
I got it up
there. No. But both of them lost their loved ones. Okay?
All three of them.
All three of them, right. One lost the mother. One lost their son. Two lost their husbands. One of them made a decision to say, I'm going back to my town. Another one said, no, I'm choosing to go with you, Naomi. Life is about you. If you want to see God, make the right choice. If you want to make the right choice, hear God. If you want to hear God, you got to listen to his word.
Come on.
This is a cycle that goes on, and it disturbs my heart because people get brand new jobs, but they don't want to listen to God no more.
Hey!
I'm like, who do you think gave you that job?
God.
Who do you think gave it to you? Now this job is going to be the hardest thing in the world for you. Because guess what? Whatever God gives you, you are sustained by listening to his voice. Maybe he wants you to pray for somebody that you didn't even pray for. It had an effect on you. She went with the mother-in-law, said, I want to choose your God. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. I want your God to be my God. She said, why you want to come with me? I have no other children for you to marry. There is nothing that I can give you. But guess what? By choosing Naomi, Ruth was choosing God. She chose God, right? Even though she knows that she ain't got nothing. And she encountered who? Boaz. Which means the Redeemer. Which means the strength. Boaz seen her helping her mother-in-law and had her come and glean in her yard. And she ended up marrying Boaz. But the whole thing about it is, I didn't come to you because I seen something. You know what I mean? I seen you had another hook and I'm going to hook up with them. Some people come to church with wrong reasons.
Uh-oh.
And you never catch what you're looking for because only God can give it to you.
Yikes.
The whole thing about it is this. Listen to this. I'm choosing God. I'm not choosing what I see. You ain't got nothing to offer me. That's cool. I'm not looking to get something from you.
Great.
Woo. I know this is good.
That's great.
This is how you tap into the. My blessings ain't got no strings on it. You ain't got a word. I know you ain't got no word to give me. I know it, but I got enough. Because I got a God that's more than enough. So I can laugh in the middle of the desert, disconnected from everything, because my connection was with God first. What is your priority? You know, and when I was in school, my priority was school, then wrestling. You know, my mom, that first year, remember, you took me away from wrestling because my grades was right.
And she did what was right.
Because my grades were first. And then I learned. I'm like, you know what? I'm wrestling. But every year in December, I had to stop wrestling because I was going for my aviation. I was fixing on airplanes. And so I was starting college while I was in my junior year. And so while I had to study for my FAA exam, these federal people won't play. Every December, I would have to quit. So I wrestled all from October, November, December, and I had to quit. And December, and my coach would get mad at me. One time he cussed me out.
Oh, okay.
called me everything but a son of God. I mean, son of a child of God. And I mean, just went off on it. And I'm looking at you like, I thought you knew, bro. My grades come before sports. This is going to stop one day. But I'm going to keep on progressing in things of my, you know. And I say the same thing with spiritual things. Guess what? Your spiritual things don't stop. Your spirit, you're going to be in the heavenlies of the heavenlies with God one day. After your physical mortality stops, you're going to trade some physical finances for God? Please. That don't mean nothing to me. My relationship with God is at the number one. Then my family, then everything else falls into the miracle. It's scratched from eternal life on. I was just talking to Cassandra about how, you know, sometimes we are attached to money and things emotionally. But when, guess what? When you're looking at the storm, you ain't gonna soak like the Ecclesiastes said. If I look at the, you know, it's time for, all right, Keisha, don't talk right now. I got some serious stuff going on. This ain't time to say something nice. No, it's always time to say something nice. It's always time. Actually, the Bible says, sow in the time of famine.
Wow.
This so you can know when I show up, it wasn't connected to your famine.
Come on.
I will make you blessed in the middle of the desert, Abraham.
Amen.
When you ain't got no support, when you ain't got no help, I will be there.
Amen.
I will be there. Why? Because that's who I am. But you can't have who I am come out if you don't make who I am room. Make room for who I am this week and watch. Just say, God, before my week comes, 6 p.m., I'm spending this time with you. And ahead, watch that time be the most productive time of your life. I tell people, just try. Don't say, you know what? If it happened, it happened. If it don't, it don't. No. Make time for God.
Woo!
I know I'm right about this.
You are right about
Make it. Time for God in your plans. And you will see God in your plans. This is really one plus one stuff. This is really primary stuff that we've learned eons ago, man. But people want to see God on this earth as it is in heaven. You're not going to see God as it is on earth as it is in heaven if you don't make heaven investments into your soul.
Ooh.
If you feed your heart faith when you don't need it, when tribulation comes, your heart will feed life faith when you do need it. I'm feeding. Why? Why you see these chipmunks storing up stuff? Why you see these squirrels running around crazy? Why you see the ant busy? Because guess what? When it do come, I'm ready. Jesus prayed up. When Pilate came and got him, that wasn't the time to pray, bro. That was the time to release.
Yeah.
When Pilate comes, that's not the time to say, Jesus, help me, help me. No. He was already praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Pilate came, I'm ready. I ain't trying to be ready right now. If you are spiritually blind right now, the torch is being passed right in front of your eyes in a spiritual realm. From a mother to a son, from us going to another building, from different jobs, for different seasons, for different relationships, the torch is being passed. Don't reach back. Lord, I'm ready. No, it's in your hands now. If you are waiting for God to make something better, you are behind the ship. He said he has made it better. I want you to take that torch and run with it. Take my word and preach to your people at your house. Not beat them in the head with it. Minister in love. Show them who Jesus is. Talk to people that you never talked to. Because now God is about to spread God. Y'all can't see what's happening, man, in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, he said, y'all see the winds, but y'all don't see what's in the spiritual realm. What's wrong with y'all? He says, listen, man, I'm about to pass the mantle to you all, and your season is now. We all have a season on this earth. Don't allow your season to be here in vain. Allow the choices that God wants to make in your life and stand firm in them, man. Don't do it without hesitation. Know that you got a God that got your back, and I don't care if nobody else got your back. You know, and being a good leader, you might have to make decisions where you know what God says and nobody else may say, but they'll come back around.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Matthew 5:8, we're going to close with this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Mm. You know, opportunists don't see God. In the story of Ruth and Oprah, if you know, somebody else went to go look for an opportunity. Where maybe over here I can get some more husbands or wives. The person that made the choice to choose God didn't make an opportunity choice. They made a I'm going to leave room for God choice. That's the pure heart. The pure heart is not the grass is greener on the other side of the person. It's a quality person. It's a person that said, I want your best, God. Whatever you say, I want it as is, because I know you have the best. That's the reason why the devil don't understand pure decisions in Christ. He gets mad. He gets upset. That's the reason why he got kicked out of heaven. He's exactly like the Grinch stole Christmas of him is looking like, why are they still praising God? And things got taken away from him this morning. Why are they still praying? I don't get it. Why the three Hebrew boys still saying, I'm not going to bow? Don't they know they're going to lose their physical bodies? No, there's a bigger choice. There's a bigger choice that's being made. I'm choosing Jesus, baby. And Jesus is going to rule in all my life. Jesus is my peace. He's my joy. He's my family. He's my wife. He's my job. He's my entrepreneurship. He's everything. You know, I took a job as being a dean of her school for the last 4 years. I said, Lord, I can't do this. He says, I know you can't, but I can. So take the job and watch me. And God has been being a blessing to me and all the students. All the papers I graded that I didn't think I could do, God has done it for 4 years. I don't think I can do it, Pastor. Guess what? You must decrease. Because your thoughts is not going to take you to the next level. My thoughts.
Yeah.
Stop telling you got a stuttering problem, Moses.
Come on.
I don't care about your stuttering problem. Do you think your stuttering problem is going to stop a nation from me wanting them to get out? Stop telling me about you and start confessing I am in your life.
Ooh.
I am that. I am your voice.
Yeah.
I am your rod. I am your shield. I am yours.
Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my God.
So stop talking about what you ain't and start talking about who he is. Because who he is what got y'all away from the crazy Egyptians.
That's good.
Who he is what carried me in my relationship with my wife. Who he is what's going to open up a new church neighbor. Who he is. Allows me to have peace and get off the depression, man. God, who he is who he is. Love, comfort, peace, protection.
Everything.
That's why I have to keep going back to this chart. Anything that's not connected to this eternal life will be a life of confusion. You know, confusion, wickedness, all of these things have two things tied together, good and evil.
that's like a wick on a candle. It turns with evil and good. Satan can't just sell you evil without good. Mm. He has to try to put both in there.
Oh my God.
It's two type of regrets that you can't, I mean, it's two type of pains that you can't escape. The pain of regret or the pain of sacrifice. Mm. The pain of sacrifice says, I'm gonna do this thing called long suffering that love says to do, and then I'm gonna gain the reward later. Mm. The pain of regret says, I'm gonna get pleasure right now. Then I'm gonna hurt later.
Wow.
I can't escape these two pains, but I get to choose which one I want. I'm gonna invest this seed right here, and I may miss a couple double whoppers. I may miss a couple of curly fries. Big But you know what? God don't sustain me. I might go to work and put on this Kool-Aid smile, even though I'm hurt a little bit. But you know what? Those seeds that you sow, yeah, gonna come back seven times, baby. So choose your pain. Mm. Wow. And stop blaming people. We got this thing where nobody can be wrong no more. No, there's things in my life that I chose. I say, it was not a God choice. And I ain't suffer what they say in life. Repercussions and consequences and repercussions. We don't believe in that no more. But guess what? Even in the choices I've made wrong, if you surrender that to God,
no, come on, you turn it around.
He'll make it all right. Solomon slept with first over and over, and at the last day, he said, "Lord, you know his mission was to take up all the Philistines. He was tied up. Just to let you know, as long as you got breath in your body." The thing that God has for you is never over with. Ooh. At the last breath, he says, "Lord, give me strength. I know I messed up." Guess what? You have to admit first. That's the first case of getting out of denial, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just admit. I made it up. I messed up. I made a bad choice, God. I thought this was you and it wasn't. Start there first, man. Because he can't fix it if you still think you're doing the right thing. Does this add up to your scripture, God? Because I want your best. Your best is going to love me back. Mm. My best is not me sowing to something that's going to kick my butt. Your best is me investing in something that's going to trip my foot. Not going to steal. The enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Don't get it twisted. No, you come so I can have life. So let me make more choices that's more on your accord. But you know the culture says we gotta do this, so we're gonna do it. Listen, man, sometimes your culture can be wrong. You know, if you eat soul food every day, you're not gonna live as long.
Hey!
I know some cultures are, this is what we say, well, that's just business. No, listen, man, if you do business and you cheat somebody,
come on, man.
That's bad business.
That's bad business.
That's not for God.
All day.
You have to stop this riding with this flow of the world and is using their same terminology.
Come on, man.
Do stuff unjust.
Come on. You want to fight it. Yeah.
Wow. When you're connected to all of these things and this and God is the centerpiece of it all, everything becomes blessed, man. Because God is connected to the principles of grace that he has given you to allow you to function. Depression has no rule and say so in my life anymore. And I thank Jesus for that. But you know what I thank more for that? Me getting up in Christ every day. Me having a scheduled plan for my life to say, thank you, Lord, I'm choosing you before I wake up in the morning. I'm choosing to put you on. Put some of this BB and CC on. Oh man, I love Cece, man. I remember going to her concert one time and I was like, man, this is so awesome. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just allow her to play songs of melody in my heart. And then you know what? When I changed the altitude and the temperature of my heart, why does it everything else align up with it? Mm.
Why, when I have peace in here, then everything else has peace. That's why the blame game is over with, baby. As a man thinking in another person's heart, no. This is what we want, baby.
It's my mommy, daddy, fault.
No, no, no. As you think it in your heart, there's no more blame anymore, man. Take responsibility. You know what responsibility is? Responding to the ability. I can have a response that can outshadow my past. So I'm going to respond right to you, Jesus. So I'm going to let the gospel shine back and forth. You say I'm forgiven and my sins are thrown into the sea and remember no more, I ain't going to scuba dive. If you say it, I believe it. And that's where the breakthrough happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is and you know, and I'm really compelled just to tell people, please ask God, and it's good to say this, ask God, Lord, what area am I not applying your proverbs? What area am I not doing it? And allow that grace to flow there. It's good for me to pray for you. Because, you know, that praying is a fresh anointing to allow you to be forgiven and start fresh again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to allow you to see. But once you see, don't go back to your vomit. Don't go back to not hearing a word no more. Once you get what you got, just, no, stay on that same path, man. Stay on that same path. And I'm even preaching as a pastor because of what I see, the hurt and the pain. That lady that lost 600 pounds, man, that was an amazing thing, but it was connected to the body. She said, my doctor, my pastor, my sister, everybody was on board. And she said, anybody that wasn't on board, it's cutting time, baby. And you know what? It's, I don't mean, ooh, you mean. No, she's trying to live. You know, and she still got like 200 pounds of gold, but it was a blessing just to see that, you know what I mean? But the thing about it is, for us spiritually, we're trying to live. And the Bible says, cut every what? Weight that holds us down. That depression, let it go. If you talk to somebody over for an hour and the only thing you get is depression, depression, depression. Guess what, man? You have to change the climate. You have to lean on God, man. I thank God for the people in this room. If I can call any one of y'all all day long and talk, and it's a blessing too. But some people you talk to, it's like, all right, man, I'm going to holler at you later.
Right.
Because this is bringing me down. I'm not going to say Mary J, so I'm going down. That's exactly what's happening. But change the climate, you choose that. You know, the three Hebrew boys, they changed the climate, man.
Yeah.
They said, no, we're not bound. I'm your authority. Listen, man, if your authority ain't connected to Jesus, that's not your authority. If you didn't read in the New Covenant, he says, I am in the gap now. Read it. You know, it's amazing. We used to read that scripture every day, and I read it for the first time.
Come on, bro.
Hold on. Jesus is the mediator. Man ain't the mediator.
Come on, bro.
I used to say, I'm the mediator all the time. If you read something and then you choose to say, well, I'm going to just flip the script and act like I didn't see that. So I'm keep going there. I don't know what they would be. Jesus, you got to catch up to what I am now. Because I am the mediator between man and God. No, that's not what the Bible says. If you read it and you continue in disobedience, then that's you. Now you're in a position where you don't supposed to be. You playing this now when Jesus said that I was there for you. I died for your sin. You're not dying for nobody else's sin. You're leading them to me, but you're not going to die for them. I did that. Now, lead other people to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how.
how I got there, but we're going to communion.
We'll take it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.